Definitely miss. Ooh. We definitely miss you guys leading worship. All right, we got an interesting question to ask today. Does truth matter in our daily lives? Does truth matter in our daily lives? Now, if we were going to do a quick poll around the room, some of y'all will probably say, yeah, truth matters a whole lot. Some might go, what is truth? It doesn't really matter. And even if it did, it doesn't have a whole lot of impact to my life. Some of you guys might go, I don't know. Does truth matter? Not sure. And so we're going to get a spectrum of responses as I'm asking this question to all of you. But here's one place where I think we're all going to agree that truth matters. Okay, every single one of us are going to agree on this one. It's for online shopping. Online shopping. And I'm going to show you right now that we all agree online shopping matters when it comes to truth. Okay, when you're looking at something online and you want to buy it, you are depending on whoever's selling it to tell you the truth, right? Like the picture that's on there reflects what you're actually going to get in the mail. The description on there actually matches what you're going to get in hand. What happens if you open up your mail and what you see online doesn't match what you're getting? It sucks, okay? It sucks really bad. You feel like you've been cheated, you've been lied to, you've been manipulated. And then you look at that person who sold it to you and say, man, that person lied to me. That person wasn't being truthful. Do you know that there's websites that shows this kind of stuff? It talks about expectation versus reality. So the expectation, what you think you're going to get, or what you think they're telling you is the truth. And then there's the reality of what you get, of what you see in the mail. And I want to show you a couple, because it just cracks me up when I see people getting just messed up online. So here's the first one. I think that's a guy. I'm not 100% sure. But he's wearing this like grayish thing. I think it's a sweater. It might be a jacket. Jetter, maybe. I don't know what it is, because I don't wear it. But it looks like a wool sweater, all right? And so this is what's being advertised online. And do you guys want to get what happened when the person received this order in the mail? What it looked like? Anyone want to guess? A towel? I heard a towel. Close, but not quite. It's worse than that, actually. It's just like a piece of cloth with two holes cut inside. And the color doesn't even match. Okay, this is what that person got, and that's what's being told online what they're going to get. Does truth matter? Yeah. Right, here's another one. So this here is, they're trying to sell a rug. Okay, it's pretty nice. It's purple. I don't know who would get a purple rug in their house, but this is a purple rug. Looks really nice. And they're selling this, okay? Anyone want to guess what they got in the mail? It's not a towel. I'm going to show you right now. This is what the guy got. Oh! It looks like a bath mat. Okay, it's tiny. It's not an area rug for sure. It's like a feet rug. It's super tiny. This is what the guy got on the mail. Does truth matter? Yeah, it does. That's not what he was sold. That's not what he was told he was buying. Okay, expectation versus reality. Here's the last one. So these are toys. It's a little stuffed carrot. Very cute. Anyone here would buy this online? No? How about like the 6th, 7th grade girls? You guys want it? No? Nobody wants this? It's so cute though. Okay, so this is a stuffed animal, a stuffed carrot. Super cute. This is what they got in the mail. Carrot. It's like this old wrinkly carrot. Someone drew a face on it with a marker pen. Like, they did a really bad job. It doesn't even look, it looks creepy. It looks nothing like what was being advertised online. Okay, so this is what happened when you think you're being presented with truth, but then when you get it in the mail, it is absolutely not what you thought was being sold to you. And that is a question that I think we want to struggle with today as we look at scripture. Because there are things in life where, all right, you know, if I got like an actual carrot in the mail, big deal, all right, I might have lost a couple bucks. But there are certain truths in life where if you're being sold the wrong thing and you buy into it, it will mess you up for life, not just here and now, but also eternity. It will mess not just you, but people around you. It's going to mess your community. It will destroy lives if you buy into certain truths that are being sold to you that is untrue. And so we ought to care information that's presented to us, right? We need to look at it and say, is this true or not? Because you're making life decisions. In many cases, it could be life or death based off of that information. And so the question you want to ask is, well, how do I know if this is true or not? Do I buy into this or not? How is this going to impact my daily life if I buy into something that's fake versus something that's true? And so there are tremendous implications into what you believe to be true. Now, I'm going to say today, in our world, it's a little tricky. Because the predominant worldview in our world today is relativism and tolerance. All right, that's the predominant worldview. You go to work, you go to school, everyone is going to say, it's all relative, be tolerant. That's the two words you hear a ton, everywhere you go. And that is the worldview of folks today. For you who aren't familiar with what those words mean, relativism means your truth is your truth, is my truth. There is no real truth, right? So truth is whatever you want it to be. It's your world, you believe whatever you want. It's my world, I believe whatever I want. So that's relativism. It's all relative, depending on you and me. Tolerance means let's agree to disagree, all right? Even if you think I'm wrong, you don't tell me I'm wrong. You just say, okay, that's what you believe, I'll back off. And so the predominant idea right now in our world is the idea of relative truth and tolerating truth that isn't truth. And if we look at Scripture, Scripture would tell us that this way of living life is actually not only unbiblical, but it's also incorrect and just straight up dangerous. It's dangerous to your life, it's dangerous to people around you, it's dangerous to your community that you're in. And so, as we're walking through Scripture today, I want you to really think about what is the truth that you believe to be in your life? What is your lens that you're looking through at the world that tells you what's true or not? Because it has tremendous implication to the quality of your life right here, right now, and also in eternity. And so that's what we're going to dig into today. But let me set up the context here before we dive in, because we are jumping right into the middle of a book. We are in 2 Timothy right now, and we've been going through that for the last couple months. The book of 2 Timothy is about endurance in faith, right? So we know that the recipient of this letter, Timothy, he's struggling. He's thinking, do I stay in my faith? Do I ditch Christianity? Do I go do something else? And the author of this letter, which is Paul, is writing to Timothy. And Paul, in this letter, he's just listing things out and saying, these are the things that build your endurance in faith, and these are the things that destroy your endurance in faith. Today is one of those, it's going to destroy your faith kind of passage. He's going to talk about truth, and he's going to say, this is how you identify it, and this is how you can observe it. If your life is this kind of life, then you are in horrible, horrible trouble. Get out of it. And so we're going to see that Paul is going to contrast two kinds of life. Life that is rooted in the truth of Jesus Christ, and life that isn't rooted in the life of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see the stark difference between these two lives. Now, today we're not talking about Christianity compared to other religions, okay? Not compared to Muslim, Hindu, or whatever. It's not, that passage isn't talking about that today. Today's passage is talking within the church. is talking about Christians who believe the truth of Scripture and Christians who twist Scripture into what they want to believe. And so it's talking about Christians. I don't know if any one of you guys sitting right here, which camp you're in. And so hopefully as we're going through this, I want you to be thinking and saying, you know, what does my life look like? More that kind of life or this kind of life? Because that's what Paul wants us to look at and say, hey, there are false teachers out there. There are heretics that are teaching Christians that aren't Christianity. It's breaking even basic theology about who Jesus is. And so you want to be careful because these people aren't out there. It's not obvious, like, oh, you believe in something else. These are people in the church. They're using the same terms. They're using the same words. They're doing things that you are doing, but their message is not the gospel Christian message. And so you got to watch out for people like that. So that's the kind of passages we're going to go into today. If you will open up your Bible into 2 Timothy, we're going to jump right in. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. We're going to read till the end, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Till 26. And I want us to look at the differences and pay attention to the strong words that Paul is using, all right? He's not using words like, oh yeah, just watch out for him. No, he's using really, really strong condemning words for people who are falsely teaching things about Jesus. All right, 2 Timothy verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruin those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, those who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, "The Lord knows those who are His." And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Man, these are some strong words. I used to not think false teaching was really that big of a deal, especially if you're just fudging some bits and pieces of the Bible. But the Bible takes a really hard stance, and they say you don't change anything in Scripture. You don't add to it, you don't subtract it, you don't twist it. And here Paul tells us, in fact, he uses two poster child, right? He says Hymenaeus and Philetus. He says, these are your poster child right here. These are the way these two people are living. And he calls them, he says, they are trapped by the devil. They're in his captive. They're doing his will. And so this is what Paul is saying. He's saying the first group, these guys, they're teaching false truth, and false truth are demonic. And they rob us of a God-filled life. False truth are demonic, and they rob us of a God-filled life. This is not the kind of life that God wants you to live. This is the kind of life that Hymenaeus and Philetus have chosen for themselves, right? What kind of life is that? Let me go through the different words that Paul uses, and let us just be shocked at how strong are these words. He says these people are quarrelsome. They ruin the listeners who listen to their message. He says they take God's word and incorrectly handles it. He says they talk about godless things all the time. He says they are just straight up ungodly. They are departed from the truth, so they are no longer rooted in the truth of Jesus. They destroy the faith of other people. So it's not just themselves that are messed up. They're messing people up around them. He says they are wicked. They're unholy. They give in to youthful desire. So this is not like a kick to the youth that says you guys are bad, okay? This is talking about immaturity. It says these people are just immature. They say they're foolish. They argue about stupid things. They are resentful all the time. They are taken captive by the devil. They are trapped by the devil. They're not an approved workman of God. They are, on the day where they stand before God, they're going to stand ashamed. It says they are a useless vessel. God has no use for people like that. It says they are not God's servant. They are like gangrene. Gangrene is like rotten flesh. And so not only are they rotten, but they're going to spread out to the rest of the body. It says they are unrepentant of sin. Oh, man. Any one of you guys here would like for your life to be described with these terms? Anyone? No? Anyone wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I think I'm going to be foolish today. You know what? I'm waking up today, I'm feeling like I want to have some stupid arguments with people. None of us wake up thinking we want to do this, right? And that is the subtlety of false teaching. Okay, we don't wake up one day and say, we want to be like this. No, it happens over time, and before you know it, this does describe your life. And this is the life that Hymenaeus and Philetus is living, and Paul say, look at their lives, all right? Not only are they teaching false truth, but look at the evidence of their lives. They're doing all these things, and that's how you know that there are false teachers. And so look at your own life and say, man, are some of these things describing my own life? And so the legit question you need to start asking yourself is, what kind of Christian messages have I been listening to? Have I been influenced by people who may have twisted the truth of Jesus? Am I living a life that is reflecting of my untruth about how I believe the gospel to be? So these are legitimate questions because they impact you every single day and it impacts people around you. Okay, it says it destroys those who listen to what you say. And so it's kind of scary. And I'm going to add more to the horror because we're going to look at some of the things that Jesus says also about false teachers, and we're going to look at more things that Paul says about false teachers. And after you hear all these scriptures, you're going to be so scared and paranoid about false teaching. The first one is in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 13 to 15. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 to 15. This is what it says. Such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ, right? And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. You guys know that? Stuff you've seen in the movies where, like, Satan shows up with horns and a tail and a pitchfork, that's not him. He comes to you as light. You will be deceived by his appearance. It says, it is not surprising then if servants also masquerade as servant of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. All right, so it says, be careful. They're going to show up. You're going to think they're all cool and all hip and all that, but they're not. They're masquerading. All right, this next one is Jesus himself from Matthew 7, verse 15 to 20. This is what Jesus himself said. Matthew 7, 15 to 20. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them, right? Look at this list. He's saying you can look at their lives and you can tell them apart. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, check this out, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you recognize them. So not only are these people dangerous to themselves and dangerous to people and dangerous to people in the church, at the end of the day, they're going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. That's their fate. And here's the last one. It talks about when you are in the presence of people like that, how do you react to them? This is in 2 John chapter 1, verse 7 to 11. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7 to 11, it says, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Remember our passage today? These false people, Hymenaeus and Philetus, say Jesus already resurrected. He says the body already resurrected, so they're giving a different version of resurrection. It says, those who don't acknowledge that Jesus is coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you, okay, so this is the practical thing, okay? It says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, don't take them into your house or welcome them. That's the extent of how much you need to cut yourself off from people who are false teachers. Don't invite them to your house, don't have a meal with them, don't hang out with them, because they are just straight up dangerous to you. Anyone who welcomes them, okay, this is, if you make the mistake of inviting a false teacher to your house, this is what happens. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. All right. Remind yourself that scripture says they're like gangrene, so they spread, right? If you are a flesh that is not dead, this dead gangrene flesh is going to spread to you. And so you are going to end up being wicked and unholy and do stupid arguments, and that's going to start describing your life. And so this really sucks. Anyone want to be part of a community that's like that? No? Who wants to be a community that's not like that? Just a few, so everyone else wants to be like this? All of y'all should have your hands raised. Okay, nobody should be sitting there going like, I don't know. Everyone should have their hand raised. And so this is what I like us to do. We're going to make a promise to each other right now. Okay, we're going to make a pledge. And if you desire this community to be one that is awesome like it is right now and not be destroyed by false teaching, I'd like us to make a promise to each other. Okay, so if you desire that kind of community, just repeat after me. Repeat after me. We at GCBCR promise to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. If I ever become a false teacher, then I give permission to folks in the church to correct me. If anyone around me ever becomes a false teacher, man, you guys are like dragging your feet, false teacher, whatever, Pastor Carter. If anyone among us ever becomes a false teacher, yeah, I will respectfully correct that person. All right. So I have like a bunch more stuff to talk because we have to talk about the positive things, right? But we're kind of running out of time and this really sucks. So I'll tell you what, I'll keep the positive things to next Sunday because it's really good news, because then you get to see like, okay, this group sucks really bad. I don't want to be that kind of community. hey, let's be this kind of community, the one that's really awesome, that God wants us to all be part of. Okay, so I'll move that on to next Sunday, because we do have a bunch of announcements that are important, and I want us to have time for that. So what you have in your bulletin today is a handout. It's called Oh, there's so many left. I want to talk about this. This is so good. Okay, we have seven traits of false teachers. Seven traits of false teachers. Take this with you as a checklist, all right? Whatever you listen online, run it through this checklist. When I'm preaching up here, you run it through that checklist to make sure I'm not preaching false things. When you're in Sunday school, when you're in small groups, stuff you're teaching your kids, run it through this list to make sure that you are not a false teacher, you're not listening to false teacher, that we're not a community here who are doing false teaching. Okay? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are so good, God. It's amazing, Lord, that even within the Christian community, there are people who want to twist your word and have a life that is not God-filled. It baffles my mind, God. Why would they want a life that is in captivity of the devil when you offer a life that is so different, so radically awesome? But God, I know these things don't happen overnight. It's very subtle. We slowly get trapped into things like that. And so, oh God, I pray for this community at GCBCR that you protect us. Lord, protect our teachers and our leaders and our members so that if this ever happens in our life, Lord, that you help us to know how to handle it in a way that is loving, in a way that is glorifying, in a way that's not condemning or judging those who are doing this, but doing it in a way that is restoring them in their faith, that they may come back to be with you, Jesus. We thank you for who you are. You are awesome. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.